Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 29 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
And in this episode, I talked to Brooke Lewis from the Shed Barbecue and Blues Joint in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. It's an iconic barbecue joint. Their family's iconic. There's Brooke, there's Brad, who are sort of the faces of the restaurant and the business, but there's also Mama Shed and the father who were deeply involved. You're going to love this. She is just an amazing person. So energetic, so knowledgeable, great stories. There's a million little stories that had to lead up to them starting the restaurant and then surviving and making it work. And you're going to love it all.
If you like these podcasts, please subscribe. I'll be adding at least 2 to 3 per week. You can also check out my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. Also, I have a website, kevinsbbqjoints.com. Thanks so much. Enjoy this. Well, good morning, Brooke.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Fantastic. Just slinging sauce and barbecue. You know what can get better than that?
nothing better. Well, thank you for doing this a second time. Our first one was a wonderful interview, but it was a little bit corrupted, so it didn't work out. But
yeah.
I appreciate this. So where are you right now? What's your day like today?
Right now, and you know, I kind of flipped the script on you a little bit. Typically, we're always at the Shed Barbecue and Blues Joint. You know, we've been open 17 years, and everybody loves, if they haven't visited the Shed, they love that little, you know, doing videos, and we do a lot of online Facebook Live to show off the Shed, but we really never show off the Saucery.
Okay.
And so today I'm at the Saucery, and what we are is we're a small batch co-packer.
Okay.
So We do bottles, hot fill, cold fill. The food and beverage side, we do bagging for a lot of different barbecue joints, but also some of the casinos, local restaurants, and retailers.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
And so what is, we can get into that in a little bit, because you're going to give us a little tour as well?
I will. So I will do my best to walk around with my computer and show you a little bit about what's going on. And I snuck in the back a second ago and realized that they were bottling barbecue sauce, or they're about to start bottling barbecue sauce for Peg Leg Porker, which is a dear friend of ours. And if you've never been to his barbecue joint, you need to make a road trip, because it is fantastic. So we'll sneak in there and see, watch them for a little bit and see what they got going on.
Excellent. That sounds great. Well, I wanted to know, I know a little bit about your history, but I'd love to know about your history as well as Brad and the Shed and your whole family. So how did it start out?
So, all right. The history of the Shed Barbecue, the history of the Shed Barbecue and Blues Joint. I will try to give you a condensed version, because I'll tell you, we couldn't have made the story up any better. Mm-hmm. And it's all true. Brad was, he's always been like a dumpster diver extraordinaire. And he was at Ole Miss. He went to Ole Miss, going to college. And while he was at Ole Miss, he would, you know, on the weekends go visit the juke joints up in North Mississippi. And during the week after school, or probably when he was supposed to be in school.
Exactly.
He was dumpster diving, and he would go around, and he even had deals with companies where if they were going to tear down an old home, they would say, "Brad, you know, give us $50, go in there, and you can, you know, keep whatever you find." And so he just started collecting while he was at college. And when he came home, he told my parents, "I want to open a barbecue joint." And of course, my parents' first response was, "Are you crazy? We sent you to college. You have 2 degrees, and now you want to come home and open a barbecue joint on our property," because my parents owned a campground at the time.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It was a KOA franchise for years, and then they took on their own name. But and Brad was like, "Yeah." And so I was in college at the time, and it was summer. He just graduated. It was 2000.
Okay.
And so I started out that summer just helping him build and basically building the Shed, this little, what was going to be a to-go barbecue joint, out of all of his dumpster diving finds, from old hardwood floors out of the Baptist church to corrugated tin and license tags and tacky chandeliers. And the Shed, when we opened, was in 2001 of August. 2001 is when we opened. We were 330 square feet.
Wow, that's there. Tiny. Did you guys have a background in barbecue at all, or in food service or a restaurant?
We're fifth generation entrepreneurs, so there's a huge background in just work.
Just doing it.
when we got in trouble, we didn't get sent to our rooms. We raked the yard. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there was a lot of work instilled growing up. But also, we have butchers, meat cutters, on both sides of the family. Grandfathers and great grandfathers at some point in time dealt with either the grocery business. My dad's dad owned a grocery store, dealt with meat cutting. So it's, I think food, and we were raised in a house of foodies. I think just food has been instilled. My parents have always cooked. They've always been competitive in the kitchen with each other. So it's just kind of instilled in our blood to be foodies mm-hmm. at some point in time. And when Brad came home from college and said, I want to open a little barbecue joint. And a lot of that was the feel he got in North Mississippi with the blues, the barbecue, the beer. And he said, I really want to open this up and make it really a family thing. We'll close mm-hmm. at 10. We sell lots of cold beer, but only beer. Mm-hmm. And I started out just little sister helping, and we built this little 330 square foot joint. And we quickly realized that there was a demand, and we needed to meet the supply.
So at the get-go, was it busy?
It was busy.
Okay.
But busy is all relevant to what, you know, you feel is busy. So two kids opening up a 330 square foot barbecue joint, our goal was to sell $500 a day in food.
Okay.
You can't make a living on $500 a day in food.
No.
So we sold out the first 3 days. And so we realized, you know, that to us, that was huge. We met our goal. You got to set your goals where they're realistic, and we met them. So we just kept expanding. We did 16 expansions in the first year and a half.
Oh my gosh.
And a lot of those were just we were on a shoestring budget without the shoestring. So a lot of them were bartered beer and barbecue. We had a construction crew come in, and they were like, you have six seats in the whole place. You're so little, and we want to hang out. We want to be able to drink beer. We had two beers on tap at that time. Now we carry 170.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they wanted to hang out, and Brad said, well, we don't really have any place for you to sit. And they said, well, why don't you build a seating area? You know, people will fill it up. And Brad said, well, we don't have any money. Why don't you build yourself a seating area, and I will pay you in beer and barbecue. So that was the first major expansion of the shed.
Wow.
Was a construction crew building their own seating area.
And for themselves.
So lean-to, and then we became about 9,000 square feet in the first 2 years. And now we sit right about 15,000 square feet.
Oh, that's a huge difference from 300. Crazy.
I know. And the shed, you know, if you've ever been there, if you haven't, please come or get on Google Maps, and there's a little fun virtual tour where you can see the shed. But it's definitely one of a kind. Guy Fieri once quoted it like, it's junkadelic. And a lot of that is from Brad's love of dumpster diving. But over the years, the shed's been built by the community. So people come out and they're like, hey, I've got an old piano, or I've got a, you know, an old saxophone, and you know,
oh, we'll so people keep, still contribute to it as.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The shed's definitely built out of the community. Brad kind of laid the platform for the junkadelic style and the uniqueness of it, but it's built out of the community. Every day we get a license tag and we have people sign it.
There's a lot of times
people come around and they're like, hey, there's an old military hat on the wall right there. And man, I would love it. Can I buy it? And we always tell people, no, nothing's for sale here because it's really not our stuff. It's mm-hmm. other people's stuff. We're just kind of hosting it.
And if someone comes, you know, it's nice to see, hey, I contributed. That was my thing. It's family.
Absolutely.
You'd mentioned a story before about records. Is that was that before or after? Was that right before the shed started?
There are so many unique stories to the shed and just the organic growth of it. But there's, you know, with any business, there's trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. And I guess one of our first really kind of light bulb moment, we need to be better prepared, was right before we were going to open the doors of the shed, about 3 days before we were set to open. Brian and I realized that we had a building, we had a smoker, we had a couple of seats, and we had no food and no money to buy the opening inventory. And so Brad, my parents said, well, what are you going to do? You know, if this is your project, we're not going to give it to you. What are you going to do? And so Brad, in his dumpster diving finds while he was in college, he actually went to a company was tearing down an old home in Oxford, Mississippi, and it was somebody he worked with where they were like, hey, give us $50, you can get whatever you want out of the house before we tear it down. And he did that, went into the attic of the home, and it used to be, come to find out, it used to be an old radio station. And there were thousands of vinyls, 45s, everywhere. And so Brad talked to the guy, said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, I mean, it technically we're supposed to just get rid of everything. You know, there's nothing else. Brad didn't want to take something that maybe belonged to somebody else. Of course, it was not critical or not important. And they said, it's yours. So we loaded all of them up. And when he moved here and we were about to open the shed, he had no money to buy inventory. He said, you know, I've got that old record collection. Maybe we could sell it, or maybe we could sell part of it and get some money. We were to open in 3 days, and he wanted to sell a record collection and have the money and then find the food within 72 hours, which I thought was crazy.
It's optimistic.
But I'm telling you, you can't make these stories up any better. And so he put in the penny pincher, 3,000 records for $3,000, dollar a record. It was moments after that printed the next day. It was moments later that a lady called, and she collected records, and she was over the moon. She said, Brad said, do you want to come see him? She said, no, I'm on my way. I'm going to pick the records up. I got $3,000. I want 3,000 records. Okay. So the sale was made. Mm-hmm. We were able to buy all the food and get open on the day we wanted to get open. But it's those kind of like serendipity, and I don't even know what you call those moments in our life of the shed. That just, I mean, it still gives me the chills because there's so many things like that that have just worked out. But a lot of it is, you know, there's a lot of hard work behind it. There's a lot of luck behind it. And there's just a lot of things that Brad's done and collected and found over the years that we think we'd never use. And all of a sudden, we're in a dire necessity for it.
Was it one of those records an Elvis Presley?
Yes. So come to find out, we were open about a year, year and a half. And Brad got a call from the lady that bought the record collection, which in turn let us buy our opening inventory of food. And she said, hey, I just wanted to see how you guys were doing. How's that restaurant doing? And Brad said, well, we're doing really good. We've done a lot of expansions. You know, the sales are great. How was the record collection for you? And she said, well, I just want to let you know that within those 3,000 records, there were multiple 45 promotional records with Elvis on them. So, and there were a few other amazing names, but they were Elvis promotional 45s. She sold one of them for $4,500. So just one of the sales, one record out of 3,000, she sold for $4,500. And, you know, at first Brad hangs up and he's telling me like this story. And at first, like, oh man, that would have been so much money. But it quickly kind of came to both of us that we would have not changed that for the world. You know, we both were blessed and we both benefited financially from it and got all the happiness we wanted out of it. And she was able to make some money. And
exactly.
We were able to get open and have the longevity that we do now. And like I said, that's one of so many stories that just makes the sheds growth and our family just unique. I mean, I guess you'd say we're living the American dream.
You are, really. At those early days, what were you guys serving?
So we started out super simple, and our menu is really, it's super simple still, but we had 7 meats and 3 sides.
Okay.
So we had your baby, and we do a true baby back rib. We had your baby back, spares, sausage. It's made here in Mississippi, in Star, Mississippi. Chicken wings, brisket, which we hand-pulled at the time. Over the years, we've learned that you got to have that traditional Texas slice, too. You know, people would come in from Texas and go, you don't have any sliced brisket? You pulled it all? Like you do pork? And so that was a little lesson we learned over time. And of course, pulled pork. And then we had 3 sides. My mom's pasta salad, my grandma's baked bean recipe, and my dad's coleslaw recipe. And we kept it real simple. I mean, we were on the KISS method for a long time. Keep it simple, stupid. And whatever we do, let's just make sure it's right. We'd rather have 10 things on the menu that all taste great than to have 60
for sure.
Or mediocre. So over the years, we've added additional side items. We added French fries. We always said we'd never fry, but we added French fries because you gotta have them.
You have no choice, yeah.
Yeah, so we've added some other stuff, some grilled cheese, things for the kids.
Yeah, you got kids. Kids need French fries too, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So there's some things we've added, but we've really stuck to the true seven meats. We make them the same today that we did 17 years ago. It'll be 17 years in August, which is
congratulations. Wow. That's fantastic.
Absolutely wild. It's crazy to think about. Brad was 24 and I was 19.
Oh man.
So there was a lot of lessons that that we were taught. A lot of lessons that we learned, and some that we want to repeat. Some we definitely don't want to repeat.
What now for the sauce wise? What did you have, one or two sauces at the beginning, or how did it?
When we opened the shed, we opened on our original Southern sweet sauce, tomato based in Mississippi, lots of brown sugar. You got to have that. And it was a sauce that was developed by a gentleman named Papa Jack.
Okay. Oh yeah, I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, we were hours out from opening. We were going to use a just grocery store shelf, whatever we could find at the time, as the barbecue sauce. So we figured something out. And it was the day before we opened, and a gentleman pulled up to the shed, and he asked Brad, he said, "What barbecue sauce are you using?" And Brad said, "Well, we really don't know yet. So you're opening tomorrow." He said, "Well, try this." And he had a case of it in mason jars in his car, and we tried it, and it was love at first taste.
Oh, man.
And he introduced himself, and he said, and Brad said, "Well, man, this is great. How long, you know, have you been making this?" And he said, "Well, how old are you?" And Brad said, 24. And he said, "Well, as long as you've been alive." And so we started out with Papa Jack's sauce, and the base flavor is Papa Jack's flavor. Over the years, though, we have redeveloped where we've made it a very clean label. We're made with all gluten-free ingredients, all non-GMO ingredients, all natural. So you still have that great flavor, but now it's in just a super, super clean.
That is great to know. So it's essentially the same flavor profile, but it's just
absolutely clean. Absolutely. And over the years, we've expanded. So we now have four sauces and three marinades that we have on the grocery store shelves. So
that's a big chunk of your business. I mean, that's something that you're traveling a lot for.
We are traveling a lot for that. So we've always believed, you know, and our family's always believed in, we try to live not inside the four walls of our business. We try to really get out there and pull people in and welcome them to the family. And a lot of different outlets have allowed us to do that. One has been the sauce, with doing food shows and really trying to develop that retail line. And another is the National Barbecue Association, which is now the National Barbecue and Grilling Association. Yeah. Where we're able to meet up with all of our mentors and learn and teach. And then our other outlet is the competitive circuit, where we get out there and, again, try to learn from other people, try to teach something if we can, and really network with all of our barbecue family across the country. So we're real active outside of the four walls of the shed, but we're also very, very we hold it very close. You know, anytime we're home, we're at the shed. It may be that we had the day off and we're sitting on the porch drinking a beer.
Because it is the base that like everything pongs off of, yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of days, you know, it's building something, adding to the shed. Obviously, you know, I have the fortunate/unfortunate job of being the bean counter. So I have to make sure we actually make money at the end of the day and do some accounting. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we really try to live on you know, really keep our circle as wide and vast as we possibly can in the barbecue world. And that's why we love our barbecue friends like you, is because we can all learn from each other.
Yeah. And what I was going to ask you, what does that barbecue world mean to you? What are those friendships? Because I think people, it's different than other industries. It's close knit and even people that you probably haven't met, you feel like they feel comfortable enough to come up to you and talk to you and ask questions. And
so the barbecue world, you know, we always talk about how other in the food and beverage industry, which is the largest industry in the country, you don't see other genres of food people getting together like you do, like you see the barbecue people getting together. And to us, that's super important because there's endless knowledge to to learn. There's endless lessons to learn. I mean, I couldn't tell you how many people that we've reached out to over the years in our barbecue family and asked them questions and taught them things and learned from them. So to us, having that huge circle of friends and huge circle of supporters is priceless.
Yeah. And it seems like we all want each other to be successful too, which is unique.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, my mom always says, you know, the barbecue people, we're fierce competitors, mm-hmm. but we're also fierce friends.
True. Oh, so that's great. That's a great line.
We may be on the barbecue circuit and yes, you're my friend, but I kind of want to kick your butt. You know, I want to beat you. But at the same time, if you know, your smoker goes down, throw it in ours, you know, or we're going to help you. We're going to do whatever we can do to help you. But yeah, that's the barbecue world. And I think it is, once people get into the barbecue industry or even just get a feel of it through a friend, it's addictive.
Yeah. It's super addictive and people get hooked big time. Well, yeah, obviously we all know. It's crazy. Yeah.
And I think part of that is just everybody, like, whether you want to admit it or not, there's something in you that wants to play with fire, uh-huh. you know, yeah. love cooking with fire. But also just when you get in there and you realize the camaraderie that happens in the barbecue industry and the people and how so many people are willing to not only help you out, but when you're up, they want to keep you up. Mm-hmm. They're not trying to push you down. They're trying, oh, they're doing great. And they want to keep you up there. And I think for that reason, the barbecue industry is so hot right now. I mean, it's white hot, not only on television, but just the independent restaurants that are doing really well and are successful. And the restaurant industry is so hard to be successful at. Just everything affects everything in the restaurant industry. You know, if there's freeze in Mexico, it affects the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Everything affects everything with us. So it can be very difficult to make sure at the end of the day that you make a little bit of money and you have really happy guests and your crew's happy. So it's a formula that really you work hard for. But having the barbecue industry so tight-knit and so welcoming and supportive is, I Jeez. Feel like, why barbecue restaurants are successful all over the mm-hmm. world.
Right oh, yeah. Now. Yeah, it's globally. I'm talking to some people from Paris and from England later this week. It's amazing. It's shocking.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And I'll tell you what, there's so many other countries. Our one of our biggest supporters, one of the saucery and the shed sauce line on the retail shelves, one of our biggest supporters are our friends in Germany. We sell a ton of sauce in Germany.
That's crazy. That's really wild.
You would have never
I would never pinpoint Germany as a place. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and we're so thankful for that. But I think, you know, it's barbecue used to be so regionalized and it was almost like a hard line mm-hmm. regionalized. And now because of the different outlets between television and just the way barbecue people are, and we're out there and we're talking to other people and we're teaching, it's just a big melting pot. You know, there's people doing a traditional vinegar sauce in South Mississippi versus tomato base. And, you know, you've got your mustard based sauces, but also cross countries.
Oh yeah,
we're learning from them, and they're learning from us. And a big avenue for that, if anybody watches this, is the National Barbecue and Grilling Association.
For sure,
it's, you know, there's everybody from the Japanese Wagyu Association to our you know, British Bulldog Barbecue team. I mean, everybody's coming together to teach and learn at the same time. So
I'll put links to that too, because I think that's important for people to become part of. And if they go, they can go to seminars and speaking events. And then also rub shoulders with you and the rest of the world, the people. And it's funny too, because I'm talking to people that I admire, but also they're right. It's a great world. I really love it. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to, what was the effect of Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives? What was that like? It's a juggernaut.
Yeah, it's crazy. Our first, thinking back, Brad and I, the Shed family, our first real huge moment in our business was when we were featured on Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives. We were on the second season, okay. And that was in 2007.
Okay.
And I remember sitting with the producer, and he said, or she said, sorry, she said, you know, when we go to restaurants and this airs, they're seeing about a 30% increase in business. And at the time, it's like, yeah, we you know, that sounds great. We would love to have that. Let's see if that happens.
Yeah, good luck.
You know, and I'll be darned, we saw a 30% increase in business. And to this day, that was filmed in 2007, and to this day, it still airs. I saw it 4 nights ago. And
yeah, I think I saw it like 3 weeks ago or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And we're so, I mean, how would change it for the world? I mean, we had so much fun filming it, and Guy was fantastic. And, you know, he's a big supporter of Operation Barbecue Relief.
For sure.
So he's, you know, when it comes to barbecue, he's through and through, and he's working with Stan and Will and the guys from OBR. So that's such a blessing, and who would have thought that in 2007 that they would develop OBR and then Guy would be hands-on with it. But that was kind of the big push for the Shed. That's, I think, what really helped put us on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, we've been blessed to have our own shows and also be featured on shows and be on a lot of the barbecue competition shows.
And it probably gave you that opportunity to know that you and Brad like to be in front of the camera.
We love to be in front of the camera. you know, our mom, Mama Shed, which many, many people in the industry know,
mm-hmm.
she was a professional clown for 10 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And she was not a big red nose clown. She was a very beautiful, more Pierrot clown. And she traveled all over the country. And she even went when President Bush Sr. was in office, they flew her to the White House to do the Easter egg hunt. And yeah. And play with the twins when they were little bitty.
Oh.
Yeah. And again, that's kind of back to, you know, entrepreneurship and our parents teaching us, and my dad being an entrepreneur, my parents teaching us that you have to be a shameless self-promoter mm-hmm. if you're going to be an entrepreneur. You got to live in the labels. You've got to push it. But also,
that's a great point. That's a huge point right now.
Yeah. But also, you can't be scared to reach out to other people. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's when it comes to our industry. I mean, we're competitive on the barbecue circuit, but when it comes to the restaurant, we'll drive down the street and eat at the barbecue joint 7 miles down the street from the Shed, and talk with them, and we want to know, how's their food cost? What's going on? How are you feeling? What's working? What's not working? Those things are super important.
And those facets of the business are tough.
Absolutely. Once Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives aired in 2007, we really saw a big push from that. And then we continued to roll forward with television. Again, we're not scared of cameras at all. Mm-hmm. And our parents, I think, taught us that. My mom being a professional clown.
That's so fascinating. This is the first time I've even talked to someone that had a parent that was a professional clown.
Yeah, there's so many different things that when we talk to people about what our family has done, they're like, wait, what? And again, you can't make it up any better. I mean, we used to travel with the church a lot, and we would do my mom would put us in full body costumes. And we would do these shows like the Praise and Raisins. The Holy Ghost took the chicken out of you, and Brad was in a chicken outfit.
Where you guys got it. An early age.
There was some stage time there. Sometimes we liked it, sometimes we didn't. But all that just taught us to just personality. It just built our personalities. And if anybody's ever hung out with our family, they know that we welcome everybody in. And we always tell people, you know, it's really easy with us. It's really easy to get into the family, but it's really hard to get out. Like, you're in, you know, you can't just walk away. Now you're a part of the family, part of the Shed family.
Well, before we look at the Sostery, what should people know about your restaurant in Ocean Springs and how to get there? And
absolutely. So the Shed Barbecue and Blues Joint is located in South Mississippi. Okay. We are right on the Gulf of Mexico. And so it's just our town. We're very proud of it. It's beautiful. It's a town called Ocean Springs. So we're located about 1,000 yards off of the interstate, off of exit 57, Barbecue Heaven. That's what we tell people. That kind of helps them remember exit 57, Barbecue Heaven.
Okay.
And so the great thing about being right off the interstate is if you're traveling east to west, west to east on on Interstate 10. You can jump off at exit 57, 1,000 yards north, and get fed at the Shed, jump back in the car, and head to the beach or head to New Orleans, whichever way you're going. So we have a lot of people that stop in. I mean, at the Shed, we are probably about 85% tourists.
Okay.
And so we, you know, tourists support us, and we support the tourism industry. So
And there's live music, right? Like, there's not every day.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have live music every weekend, okay, and it's free. And we've always had free music because we want to try to support and keep the blues genre alive. So we try to stick with blues, but that blues may go into, you know, traditional 12-bar blues like you would hear a lot in North Mississippi, or it may swing over and do a little bit of blues, Zydeco, New Orleans feel. So so that's always a lot of fun. We're, you know, absolutely 110% family. We have lots of areas to play. We have a 500-foot pier that's right on Fort Bayou.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so you can come by boat. We used to have a big field across from the Shed. We say you can come by boat, plane, train, automobile, and we used to have some guys that would skydive in all the time. It was not a big deal to see our guys skydiving in to the field across the street to come get fed at the Shed. So we are a family food drinkery. Open 7 days a week. We open about 10:30 in the morning and close at 9 o'clock at night. Okay. And on the weekends, we close at 10. The bands we have listed on our website, thesheddbbq.com. But also what's important on the website is if you don't make it to the Shed to get fed, or you do and you love our line of barbecue sauces and marinades, you can go to thesheddbbq.com and hit the product locator. Put your zip code in, and we'll let you know what grocery stores in a 5 or 50-mile drive radius where you can find the Shed sauce.
That's fantastic. Yeah, your sauces are wonderful. They're so good.
Thank you. There was a lot of R&D behind those sauces, not only to make them a super clean label, you know, there's no high fructose corn syrup, gluten, GMO, anything like that. So that took a lot of R&D, and to make sure it also was just packed with flavor.
And you have you have marinades too. What are those? There's three marinades?
We have three marinades. Super proud of them. We have a hog in it all, a beef blaster, and a foul play. And even though the hog in it all is, you know, tailored toward pork, it's good on, I just love it on anything. I actually eat it on salmon a lot. It's good on everything, and the foul play is tailored a little bit, you know, more towards poultry, but also it is fantastic on grilled vegetables or even vegetables in, you know, just on the stovetop. We'd rather you be over a grill, but over the stovetop, and the beef blaster is just a perfect, about 30-minute marinade. I mean, throw a beef blaster on a ribeye, let it sit for about 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes at the max, because it really penetrates. Throw it on the grill, and you've gotten fed at the Shed in your own backyard.
Oh, that's so great. That's awesome. Do you have about 12 minutes? Do you want to go back there and do that?
Yeah, okay. Let's go walk around. Yeah, and I know that Brad is running around here somewhere, my crazy brother.
Okay, yeah. So we'll see.
And my daddy-o's here because, okay, cool. You know, daddy-o has, you know, the saucery is his baby.
Okay.
So if ever you work with us at the Saucery, you'll be working with Daddy-O. And then Chris, who is the Saucery manager, is here too, because they are about to get bottling. So let's go see what they're doing.
Excellent. Cool.